Let's just stand as we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. We'll be finishing it soon, probably by the maybe beginning of May. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 1 to 7. I was thinking of going a little bit more, but I think that would be sufficient, verse 7, and to look at the Word of God and us in the last days. The Word of God and us in the last days. Okay, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Today we're going to look at how Peter moves on to a very important topic for us. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, open our eyes to your precious word with regards to what's going to happen in the last day, especially, Lord, with regards to your word. Father, we pray, even as this year we look at how we need to grow in Christ, Lord, I pray you will develop a deep love in our hearts for your word. As we respond, Lord, on a daily basis, step by step in our spiritual growth towards you. As we hear what the Apostle Peter, your servant, have to say, I pray you humble our hearts to be ready to receive what you have. So speak to us, Lord, clearly and also firmly, Lord, through your word, but at the same time, Lord, gently as we seek in our weak self to depend on your grace. Lord, there is no way we can do the things you want us to do and to serve you in a way that will glorify you unless you help us. So, Lord, we depend on you now, but open our hearts as we seek to be attentive to your word. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, as we look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7, there are two things in this passage that we need to take note of. Okay? Peter, in writing to this group of people, he told them that he doesn't want to be negligent in not reminding them of the word of truth. Okay? He says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. He wants us to, and then in verse 2, he says that, wherefore I will not be negligent. Okay? He says, that ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. He wants us to be mindful. The word mindful means to pay attention to. Okay? He wants us to pay attention to. I'll begin by just introducing to you the seven verses. What are the two main points that Peter is saying? Okay? And he wants us to be mindful of this because we're so prone to forget. Okay? But then he moves on in 3 to 7 about the conditions of the last days. The conditions of the last days. He wants us to understand today, at least in that time, for them to understand what is the way the people will think in the last days. After this, we'll expound a little bit more. But the verse that you have there on the screen, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. In other words, they're not going to put up with, they're going to just say, I'm not going to listen to this, I don't have to listen to this, I'll go somewhere else. They will not endure sound doctrine, for the time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's why there's a lot of motivational speakers today. That's why there are a lot of even pastors who give pep talk. That's why there's what you can do it, and this a lot of motivational gurus out there that they're trying to motivate people, and then you pay a lot of money to attend those. It's very expensive, those motivational speakers. Okay? They want something that will appeal to them. If it doesn't square with me, it doesn't fit my lifestyle, then I don't want that. This is an introduction, but I believe in this passage, in the seven verses, God has two messages for us as believers today. Number one, how we are to love one another with regards to the Word of God. And we will see that through Peter's reminder to the believers, to the Jewish believers. But number two, the second message I believe God wants us to have today is, how is our relationship to the Word of God in these last days? All right, we will look at that in detail. Okay. Number one, how are we to love one another? Based on Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you." I want us to notice that the word beloved is used. The Jewish Christians were not just members. To Peter, they are the beloved. They are beloved. Peter's love for the believers led him to write 2 Peter to remind them of the truth of God that they already know. You know, as we love one another in the Word of God, we need to repeat the truth of God. We need to keep repeating the truth of God. Our love for our brethren ought to lead us to talk much about God's Word, God's truth. You know why? Because we're so prone to forget. We're so prone to forget the Word of God. We need to repeat the truth of God, even though we have been taught and established. That's why Peter was saying in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, that he may be mindful of the words which were spoken before already. In other words, you know before. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12, Peter said, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth." As Christians, we need to not be, you know, sometimes, I mean, for me, I'm sad, but not here. I've heard people say before that, no, I don't really want to always hear the Word of God. I hope we'll never be tired of God's Word. I hope we'll never be tired of God's Word. I hope we'll never be tired of hearing God's Word again and again and again. That's an important thing. The Bible also says, because we tend to forget, it may be sometimes, some of us here may have forgotten the Word of God that we've been taught, but God sees fit to keep remembering to remind us of His Word. You know why? His Word encourages us. His Word promises us things. His Word warns us about things. The Bible says here, "But exhort one another daily," what is called today, "lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Exhort one another daily. You know, when we are not exalting one another, someone else is exalting someone else to do wrong. And we have our own sinful hearts. We have our own... Can I just say that Satan is always working? Satan doesn't get tired. And he does always to encourage people to do wrong. And that's why God says we need to exalt one another with the Word of God. Okay? And one of the ways is not forsaking the assembly of yourselves together, as a matter of some is. We don't forsake. We don't walk away from the assembling of ourselves together. May I say this? Once a week in church, for Sunday school, 1 hour is not enough for your spiritual growth. If you're a Christian, it's not enough. Okay? In busy Singapore, I know a lot of people have different ways of reasoning why they can only come and they try to just keep it all to Sunday. But I want to encourage you. Friday night, we're going through the attributes of God. Because we want us, God's people, to know who God is. God has been blessing us in Faith Bible Institute. If you can be participating in that, you know what? We need to keep repeating the truth of God. Honestly, as a pastor for the last 30 over years, as a Christian, I don't grow tired of God's Word because it just gets deeper, it just gets wider, I'm learning more, much more about who God is. We need to repeat. You know, when we love one another, we need to tell each other the Word of God, the truth. We need to repeat the truth of how God is good, how God is loving, how God is holy, etc. All right? So in Peter's example to the Christians, he calls them beloved, and he says, "I write now unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." He said, "Guys, you already know these things. I'm just reminding you, beloved. Beloved." Okay? And the next one, he reaffirms his love for the brethren. Second Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved. We need to affirm our love for each other. In this world of sin and darkness, and sometimes, you know, some of the brethren will say, Pastor, you know, I go to work, and then, you know, these people talk bad about me, and then I'm not really happy. And there's always this, you know, workplace is workplace. Okay, and there's always politics everywhere you go. Unfortunately, because when you work with men, that's what you're going to get. But, you know, for believers, when you come to church, or even through the SMS, that we can affirm our love for one another. And that's what God wants us to do. For two reasons. One is because we have been accepted by God. The Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, who have made us accepted. Okay? We were sinners on our way to hell, but God didn't have to love us, as we were talking in the Sunday school and also on. God didn't have to love us. He chose to. Did you know that God has no reason to love us? Because what reason do we have to give God to love us? We are sinners, we are corrupted. But yet God still loved us. God is so perfect love. His love is so perfect that not your characteristic, your social status doesn't affect His love for you. He still loves us. He loved the thief on the cross. He loved Zacchaeus, the cheat. He loved Paul, the murderer. He loved every auntie and uncle that we see that may not be the best person to look at. You know, they're old and gray. God still loves them. He loves us. You know, thank God that He can make us be accepted through the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and for us, we are accepted by God. And therefore, we are brothers and sisters. If you're Christians, we need to affirm our love for one another. All right? But here, how do we affirm that? How do we do that? Hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. How do we affirm that we ought to lay down our lives for one another? In other words, we need to be willing to sacrifice for one another. All right? We may not need to lose our life for each other, but sometimes we may lose a bit of our wallet. Sometimes we may lose a bit of our time to give to someone else because they need it. And sometimes we may have to give up. Sometimes I want to do this, but because of a brother in Christ, I'm willing to sacrifice that. That's love. That's agape love. That's giving up things. You know, God wants us to learn that in the last days. But more importantly, the next one, we need to repeat the truth of God. We need to affirm our love for the brethren. But we need to remind each other to pay attention to the word of God. Look at verse 2. That's what Peter said. Peter said, I affirm that I love you as people who have trusted Christ, that ye be mindful. The word mindful means to pay attention to. Keep it in your mind. That ye be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of Lord and Savior. Peter is saying, look, in the Old Testament, you have learned what God has said. Keep that in your mind. Pay attention to that. And when the apostles came and teach you, pay attention to the commandments too. Okay? And interesting, Peter is mentioning of the words taught from the word of God by men. There's a thinking now, I'll just listen to God, I won't listen to men. I'll just kind of listen and I decide. But you know what? God can speak through men. Now, how did you get saved? Of course, the Holy Spirit spoke to you, but someone had to come to you. God uses instruments. And we made it clear. But God says, as when we love one another, we need to remind each other to pay attention to the word of God. Okay? We need to pay attention to the word of God. Remind each other, because we are so distracted many times. There are many things going on in our lives. We are distracted. And when we come together, it's important. You know why you come for youth? You know why we come for Sunday school? You know why we come for Friday nights and when we fellowship together? Why? Because we want to remind each other of the word of God and how it affects us. Okay? Two reasons why we want to remind each other. Because number one, God's word is fixed. God's word is fixed and unchanging. We need to remind each other. Okay? I was talking to Brother Henry about how this world views marriage. And every time it's about us, me and myself. It's about fulfilling what I need. This is what this world wants. Now, church has become a consumer church. I go to a church that will fit my needs, that will do what I would like, and that will fit my kind of lifestyle, that will fit my kind of thinking. All right? The church is not a consumer church. It's a church of Jesus Christ. It's designated for two things: winning souls and building up believers in Christ to impact the community and also change lives around us. But God's word is fixed. And that's why some of the doctrines people cannot take, because why? It's an unchanging doctrine. It's unchanging. God's word is fixed. But number two, I believe, is quite important. That verse actually, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgment endures forever. It's fixed. But I think the next one is important. Let's turn to 2 Timothy, which is there. Okay, the second reason why we need to remind each other is because it prepares us for a changing society and a changing generation. This world is changing. It's changing. The world is changing, and it's not getting better. It's not getting better. The Bible says here in 2 Timothy 3:13, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Sorry, in verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Teachings have changed. It's okay to last time certain practices are not accepted, but now it is. Okay? Some churches, it's okay for men to have long hair and be leading songs, or I think, I believe it was the Hillsongs who have their worship minister who is a homosexual and is acceptable. Okay? It's dangerous. A homosexual will not be in heaven. That's what the Bible says. It's not exactly politically right, but that's what the Bible says. Okay? But now it's changing. Schools are changing. The way schools think are changing. It's now catering to how to meet and how to teach the students according to their needs. It's interesting. I think this can resonate with some people, because in the 1970s, 80s, you don't do well for your school, don't do well in your school, like you fail your spelling. Generally, the teacher will scold you, and then you go home, your parents will scold you, right? Today, if you fail your spelling, what happens? The parents will go to school and scold the teacher too hard or too many words or whatever. There was one 19-year-old who didn't do well for exam, and she sued the school because they didn't make the test easier for her. And it's like, hello? Things are changing. But you know, the word of God prepares us for a changing generation, but continue down in the things which thou hast learned. I can tell you, young people, when you grow up, another 5 years, another 10 years, things are going to change even more. But will you be standing solidly on God's word? God's word, by the way, is applicable for every generation. Amen? Because God's word is not only fixed, it is constantly able to meet every needs of every generation. And that is why we need to remind each other of the word of God. How are we to love one another? Remember, as much as we love practically, Peter seems to teach us that through his writing, he wants us to constantly remind ourselves of the word of God. Okay, let's move on. The second message I believe God has for us is, how is our relationship with the word of God? Because as we look at verse 3 to 7, Peter actually highlights the condition of the last days. And we are seeing that today. All right, of how people is handling the word of God. Peter, with these next few verses, gives us insight into the behavior and the thinking of people with regards to the word of God in the last days. For Peter, the last days is AD 70. The destruction of Jerusalem is going to come. Peter was written probably about AD 60 at that time. The destruction of Jerusalem, AD 70. Peter was preparing the Jews that towards the end times, or AD 70, the destruction, there will be people who will have a certain attitude, okay? We will talk about that attitude. Today, as Christians, we are in the last days. I hope you know that. We as Christians are in the last days. The hour is ticking towards midnight, when the rapture will happen. Towards the last days, even more clearly, there will be groups of people's response to the word of God, which Peter talked about. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers are people who despise and ridicule the Word of God. Scoffers are people who despise and ridicule the Word of God. Why do they despise the Word of God? The Bible actually says that. In the last days, scoffers walking after their own lusts. These people will come and laugh at the Word of God and say, "Yeah, I don't believe the Word of God. The Word of God is nothing. It's just a book." You know, it is something which is scary because children don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. Did you know that in the past, in America, you know what's their textbook? They only have one textbook. The textbook was the Bible. The church, it's not even the church, it's the school. The school's textbook was the Bible. Of course, they learned other things, but the main textbook. You know Harvard and Princeton University in the U.S., you know how did they start? They started as Bible colleges to train preachers to preach the Word. Harvard started first. Then after that, later on, Princeton started. You know why Princeton was started? Princeton was started because Harvard, they saw there was a slipping in standards, so they started Princeton to build preachers. You know that many universities in America were actually started as Bible training or preacher training centers. Today, in order to attract, in order to sustain, they have to open to liberal arts, and all the compromises come in. In the last days, people don't want to hear the Word of God anymore. Why? They are walking after their own lusts. Number one, there will be a rejection of God's Word by scoffers, people who despise the Word of God. That's what Peter is saying. In verse 4, he continues to say, there will be rejection of God's Word because of unbelief, because they say, and saying, where's the promise of His coming? Let me ask you a question. Did Jesus promise to come? Did He promise to come? Yes or no? Yes, He did. Okay? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, if I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. John chapter 14, verse 3. God made it clear. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and trump of God, and they which are dead in Christ shall rise first. The second coming of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 4, Jesus says, I will come again. You know, many Christians generally forget that. It's a rejection. They no longer believe. Because if you really believe something, you will live your life after the pattern of the second coming. You know, if you really believe the second coming, our lives will change. Did you know that? But here, Peter is telling this. You know, the Christians were very ready because they're ready to die for the faith, because they know that persecution is going to come. But Peter is going to reminding that there will be scoffers and false prophets. He's going to reject God's Word because of unbelief. He says, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Quay, Sarah, Sarah. Everything is just as if nothing has changed. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Now, this has to do specifically with the 7 years of tribulation, but I want to actually highlight some of the attitudes during that time. In Matthew 24, and verse number 36, the Bible says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That refers to the second coming of Christ. But as the days of Noah, referring Noe or Noah, were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. What were they doing during the days of Noah? For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. What are people doing today? Facebook. Some of us are on. Some of us choose not to be on. Facebook is full of cafes where you can makan. People say, I found this new place, I'll do this, let's go this. And oftentimes it is about food. And it's interesting, the Bible actually says, in the last year, they were before the flood, they were eating and drinking. Nothing wrong with new cafes. In fact, I think we enjoy new cafes, especially if there's good food and if it's cheap, right? Good and cheap. Okay. But you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. But it seems that the Bible seems to talk about people just going through their lives, eating and drinking, and next one marrying and giving in marriage. People want to get married and they're at marriageable age and they're looking at that. Nothing wrong with marriage too. But the indication that Jesus was saying in the last days was people are going to go through the rigmarole or the common natural trend of life, the things that they just think life is just going to go on and on and nothing is going to happen. We may not say where's the promise of his coming, but the way we live, the way Christians live, the way people live in general, is going to, there's going to be a general rejection of the word of God because of unbelief. Okay? Their lies show they don't believe in God. In the doctrine of God that we dealt with in Sunday school, there is atheism, which is a wrong belief in God. Okay, there are three areas of atheism. One is actually a practical atheism, meaning that there's no God, I just live the way I want. Okay, then there's a virtual atheism, which is interesting. Virtual atheism believes that there is a God, but don't live according to what he says. That's virtual atheism. Oh, I believe in God, but my life don't reflect that I believe in God. And you know what? Peter seems to be highlighting that a lot. Where's the promise of his coming? We live as if there is no God. By the way, there is a God. Okay, and after we deal with that. But you know what Jesus was talking about? In the last days, there will be an attitude of apathy and indifference to the things of God. Indifference. You know how I know? I'm thankful we actually did a survey about Bible reading and more than 50% of people read. But let me ask you a question. Have you grown in your Bible knowledge? I'm not asking you to grow in Bible knowledge for the sake of... You can know the Bible from cover to cover and still go to hell. You need to know the author of the Bible. You need to know the God of the Bible. Reading the Bible is the first start whereby you begin to understand, is this really God? And whether you put faith. But let me ask you, when was the last time you read your Bible? Well, that's a bit more personal. But you know, that's what we say we believe in God. But Peter is saying in the last days, there's a general indifference to the Word of God. People know more today about what's going to happen. Sometimes we'll make fun of some people who really love soccer clubs. We know more the soccer players' names in each soccer club than we know the 12 disciples. The soccer team, they have 11 main players and they have about 10 reserves. And the guys know every name. Or maybe it's whatever. But you know what? If you ask them, can you name me the 12 apostles? You know, that's scary. You know, that is actually a fulfillment of prophecy. Can I ask you a question? Can I just encourage you, please don't fulfill this prophecy in your life. Don't reject God's word. Fill it in your hearts. I'm thankful people are reading. I'm thankful. But you know what? If you're not reading, you may be rejecting God because of unbelief, because you can't really believe a God. Or if you don't read the Bible, you can't really know a God. And if you don't know God, then how are you going to believe a God that you don't read about? You know, God has only gave us two revelations. Number one, the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to planet Earth. Number two, his written word. Now, of course, he gave creation to show that there's a God. But God gave us his word to show us who he is. But you know what? At the last days, there will be a rejection of God's word because of unbelief. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, going back there, say, where's the promise of his coming? It's not coming. But you know what? Did you know that Paul believed that Jesus was going to come during his time? And you know that in every age, all the preachers right now who believe the Bible, and I'm hoping God comes in my lifetime, but you know, if he doesn't come in my lifetime, that's fine. I'm still going to see him. But the next generation will still be praying Jesus is coming because Jesus said, I'm going to come. And that's the truth. Do you believe that? We are like, in the last days, we are like modern-day Noahs who tell the world, the flood is coming, the flood is coming, the flood is coming, the flood is coming. Noah preached for 120 years. People are not interested. Are you interested? I can only tell you what God says. In the last days, there will be people who reject the word of God because of unbelief. Because of unbelief. You know, it's sad. This phrase is probably clear. Or rather, this verse is probably very true. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, as you look at this verse, God is not going to withhold the word of God. But God is telling us there will be a famine of people wanting to hear the word of God. And you know what? We can get tired of the word of God. But you know what? That's a reflection of your relationship with Christ. I hope it's not true in your life. There will be a rejection of the word of God because of unbelief. But you know, you can't really communicate with God if you don't know him. And maybe that's why many Christians fail in their relationship with Christ, simply because God has given the word his Holy Spirit. We need to read it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? And then there will be, this is an important truth, because there's a rejection of two key teachings in the scriptures about creation and coming judgment. Look at verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water. Now this is an interesting fact, because I can tell you, Jiji Chingrei, if I ask you, or some of the, maybe Eleanor next time and all that, how did this world came about? Jesus created this world. Thank God for Sunday school teachers. They would never know that unless someone give them the information from the Bible. And that is the word of God. But you know the sad thing? You know the sad thing? I'm praying that 15 years from now, they will still believe that. Why I'm saying that? Because they are going to go through the secular education, and they're going to be taught that no such thing as creation is evolution, and they'll grow up believing in those philosophies they are wrong. Or they may claim, oh, in Sunday school, long time ago, I believe long time ago that Jesus made the world, but you know what? Well, based on evidence, what the evidence points that God still created heavens and the earth. Amen? The evidence actually proved that God made all things. But you know, my concern is this. You see, creation and evolution, these are two things we were never there to see. The only reason why we believe is because of faith. I believe with all my heart God created the heavens and the earth. But my concern is for people growing up right now, 10 years, 15 years later, will they still believe that? Young people, will you still believe when you're working life that when someone says, oh, we come from monkeys and evolution is true, would you say, no, I don't believe that. I believe that God made us. The only way they will truly believe you when you live your life. You see, the last days, there's two things that's going to be rejected very vividly. That the word of God, that by the word of God, verse 5, that heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the word that was then being overflowed with water perished. Okay? The creation is one reject. They reject creation. That's why evolution is. You know, one of the things that the evolution is trying to do is to hit at the foundation of the Bible. Okay? If they can prove to you that creation, Genesis 1, 2, and 3 is not true, the entire Bible is invalid. But if we can tell them, no, God made the earth, God created us, there was a Garden of Eden, man sinned, Jesus was promised, that's our foundation of our faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe evolution or creation? What you believe will determine your eternity. Okay? In the last days, there will be a rejection of creation and there will be a rejection of the judgment. There's no such thing. The Jehovah's Witness don't believe that God is too loving to send people to hell. That's being ignorant of God's holiness. God has to judge sin. Can I say the one thing? I believe with all my heart, God's holiness demands that he deal with sin, but God's love caused him to pay the price. God is perfect in all his holiness, but yet people will choose one above the other. We need to understand one thing. We may not be able to see that clearly in Ecclesiastes 12 verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. If I don't believe in creation, that means I'm not accountable to anyone. I have the right to do whatsoever thing I want. That is current. That is what is happening. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, the Bible says in the last days, there will be a church of Laodicea. You know what the meaning of Laodicea? People's rights. I do it my way. That's the advertisement of Burger King, right? Have it your way. You know, you want a burger any way you want. You know, in these last days, a lot of people has this idea, I don't see that. I don't appreciate that. That's you, what you think. It doesn't matter. If God didn't make the world, then he didn't make me. If he didn't make me, then I'm the product of evolution, and so I just do what I want, survival of the fittest. You know, sadly, some Christians think that too. But if there's a creation, means there's a God. If there's a God, there's accountability. And one day, there will be a judgment. Peter put that in verse 6. Where the word that then was, being overflowed with water, perished, referred to the flood. You know why these people rejected the word of God? Interestingly, the Bible says in verse 5, for they willingly are ignorant. The Bible tells us that they actually know the truth, but they willingly ignored it. They just don't want to talk about it. Okay, if I come to you today and talk about, or rather I come to you and say, do you believe in the Lord Jesus? And don't talk to me about that. You know, generally they know, but they don't want to be confronted with the truth of their life. If we are in sin, no one wants to be confronted about their sin. And so this is the rejection of God's word about creation and judgment. But you know what? There's one more point in verse 7, the last verse. But God's word remains faithful regardless of man's rejection. The Bible says, verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. I wonder if you hear the word, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word. What same word? The word that God has spoken. If God promised a creation and God promised and said in the Bible there was a flood, but God also promised there will be an eternal judgment, Peter is saying, no matter how you reject the word, God's word is still faithful. There will be a judgment. There will be a judgment. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. You know, this is one aspect of God's faithfulness. God's word remains faithful. You know, we may not believe God's word, but it doesn't actually negate God's word. But you know, the next part say, and repay them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his faith. God is faithful both to his promises and to his judgments. Peter is warning or telling the believers during that time, look, these ungodly men may actually reject Christ, but the heavens are reserved for judgment according to the word of God. It's not going to change. As we close, how is your relationship with the word of God? There's a lot of highlighting of the rejection and rejection and rejection. But you know, living in these last days, how is our relationship with the word of God? I'm thankful some are serious with the word of God, but no, some need to be more serious. Let's look at this verse. You know, our relationship with the Lord of God, I was just scanning in my mind, Lord, how to close this. But the Bible says in Luke 8:15, but that on a good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. There's a few things here I believe God wants us to pay attention to. Number one, our relationship with the word of God we need to have an honest heart as we look at the word of God. How is our life? The word honest has to do with transparent. Nothing to hide. Are we hiding? Is there some things that we are hiding? God doesn't want us to hide. And then a good heart, it implies, the word good heart has the idea of prepared. You know, when you say good soil means when you throw something in the seed, the soil is able to use it and grow. It's a heart ready for the word of God. It's a heart ready for the word of God. Some of us are looking away. Some of us are just thinking. Some of us are, I wonder, is a heart ready for the word of God that will bear fruit? One of the things as pastor, I see that people come week after week, the lives not change. Jesus coming. Of course, some, I believe, are very serious about God's word, and I'm thankful for that. Can I be honest with you? If your heart is filled with things of this world the whole week, just doing your own thing, and you come, heart may not be prepared. Preparation of heart requires us to spend time with the Lord. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, God will need to stir that up. How is our relationship with the Word of God? Peter was speaking to Christians. Peter was speaking to Christian, a good heart, an honest heart. And the Bible says, having heard the word. The word heard there implies a few things. Number one, paying attention to the word. Number two, it implies understanding of the word. Say, yeah, I understand that now. I am paying attention. Yeah, I understand. And if you don't understand, you actually find out. Because let's put it this way. If you're a good student, you will want to find out what God means. And then, you keep it. The word keep means to preserve. In other words, when I hear the word of God, I say, yeah, this is what God says. And therefore, I write it down and make sure I remember it. You know, there was one brethren that I very encouraged every time he comes, he will revise the Sunday school from last week and then revise and just to make sure that he remembers things again and again. It's a blessing. But you know what? Then, when we have an honest heart, we're ready to hear God's word, we heard it, we understand it, we preserve it. And the Bible says, bring forth fruit with patience. Growth in the Christian life requires time. But that person who is determined to let God work in their life, they will be patient and they will keep coming, they will keep learning, they will keep praying, they will keep serving in order to grow. With patience, bring forth fruit. There are two types of fruit. Number one, the fruit of souls and the fruit of character change. The fruit of souls being one to Jesus Christ, and your character will change to be more and more, not more and more become a better person, to be more and more like Jesus Christ. More and more like Jesus Christ. As we close, may I ask, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Simple ones are people who says, the word simple in the Bible means airhead, empty. In other words, someone with no convictions. The wind blows here, I follow. The wind blows there, I follow. You know what God says? How long are you going to be like that without convictions? How long will you love your simplicity and scorners delight? They're scorning and people are, yeah, I know this, but you know what? You don't have to follow that. Scorners are people who know the truth but refuse to do it. Those are scorners. And then fools. Fools hate knowledge. In other words, fools are people in the Bible who know the truth and you can scold them till the cows come home. They just say, I'm just not going to do it. That's a fool. And God invites us and says, how long are you going to stay with your... How many of you know everything about the Bible? No, right? But how long are you going to love your simplicity? How long are you just going to stay where you are as a Christian? No, in the last days, the Word of God, is, I believe, is going to be our only stronghold that we can stand firmly on. How many of you know some things, but in your heart you say, no, I'm not going to do that. But that's a scorner. And you not only don't want to do that, you actually try to stop other people by saying, hey, actually, you don't have to do that one. Baptism is one. Following the Lord is another one. Reading the scriptures, don't worry, just listen to sermons online can already. Or there's a lot of corruption in the sermons online. You need to be very careful unless you know God's word. How long fools are people who know God's word and say, I'm just going to live my own life. And God says, when are you going to stop hating knowledge? You know what is the Holy Spirit's reproof? Turn you at my reproof. Repent, turn, come back, and love the Word of God for what it is. God's Word is stable. The Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. Turn you at my reproof, God says. Behold, I will pour my spirit unto you, I make known my words unto you. In other words, if you have a heart for God's word, God will teach you his word. And I've seen sincere Christians who seek God's word, they begin to understand more and more, and their lives begin to change more and more as well. So as we close, we need to love each other in reminding each other of God's word. But as you look at the last days of the rejection of God's word, my question is, are we also in that category? You know, in the last days, many Christians claim to believe God. But I believe Peter very peels off the type of lives, the so-called people in the last days who claim to believe God are living. They are actually rejecting God's word. I know for us, as some Christians say, Brother Jordy, there are certain things I really don't understand. Well, then learn. I've got Bible dictionaries at home I can give to you to study, you know, just simple words. And you know, we have discipleship group. For church members, we need to be there as we go through the different aspects of holiness, how you learn. And if you're not a church member, you want to come, you're welcome too. We're just going through the Word of God, the different aspects of the Christian life, and how we can grow towards more and more like Christ. Would you turn and grow in the knowledge of God? Let's pray. Lord, just commit even your word into your hands that you have spoken. Lord, without you, nothing can be accomplished, Lord. So we ask that your Holy Spirit will speak to us. Father, there are many things spoken about the last days, about how people reject the word, and how Peter, in his love for the Christians, showed how he wanted to stir them up once again of what you have told them. Father, we are living in the last days. And Lord, unless we know your word, we're going to be deceived. There may be some kind people, so-called, or Lord, they're very nice people, and yet they do not handle the word in the right way. I pray, Father, that we'll always be ready, always be vigilant, loving, but firmly standing on your word. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, I pray for someone here who have never known the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And the Word of God is something that they just come and hear and then go home. I pray, Lord, they will be stirred to pay more attention to it, that, Father, they may find true life in Christ. Father, I pray for a believer who is struggling in their Christian life, someone, Lord, who know the Word, but, Father, do not find the strength to do it. I ask you, Father, to stir up a desire in that person's heart to know you, to want to hear your word and to learn it. And Father, we will not reject the word of God because of our unbelief. And Father, there's really no excuse for us, because you've given us your word, you've given us your Holy Spirit. You give us everything that we have, a church, the word of God being taught. And Father, I pray that we will be serious-minded, Lord, about learning your word. Lord, with eyes closed, heads bowed, I just want to ask these two questions. One, has the Lord spoken to your heart about the Word of God and our desire for it? If you're a Christian specifically, has the Lord spoken to your heart about needing to be more serious about it? Is there someone who says, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart, would you pray for me? Is there someone like that? Just put up a right hand, I'll pray for you. Amen, I see that hand. Is there someone else? I need to be more serious with the Word of God. Is there someone? All right, just one more question. If you're not saved and you know it, and say, Brother Johnny, I've been hearing the Word of God, God has been stirring my heart, I need to know more in order to place my faith in this Jesus that you're talking about. Is there someone like that? We're not going to force you, but we just want an opportunity to present to you the Word of God with regards to salvation. Is there someone like that? All right, Father, we thank you for the brother who has put up the hand. I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will guide and lead him to a closer walk with you, a more diligent study of your word. And Father, he might know your word better, but more than he might know you better in order to grow, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do, and Lord, even as we have lunch and fellowship, Lord, I pray you prepare our hearts, even as we will be. I'm sure some people will be bringing friends. Prepare our hearts for next week as we remember, Lord, what you've done for us. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.